Hey everybody!
Welcome to Cheat Day!
Where every day is a good day to find your purpose. With your host, Kristen, gender pronouns she, her, hers.
And your host, Frankie, gender pronouns he, him, his.
And today we're going to be talking about purpose. So let's talk about purpose, Frankie.
Yeah, but I think before we do that, I'd like to ask you how you're doing.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Could be better. Could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I recently shaved my head.
And it looks amazing.
Thank you. I love it.
Yeah.
It's very freeing and liberating.
Yeah, you posted a photo Instagram.
I did.
And it had a really good reaction from people.
We got a lot of likes.
Most liked photo that we've ever posted.
It's true. How many likes did we end up getting?
I don't know. Close to 200, I think.
I think it was like 160.
Close to 200. Let's round it up.
Let's round it up to the next 100. Close to 200.
Yeah.
No, but it was funny because the person who cuts my hair is a very good friend of mine, Amy, and she was combing what was left of my hair, kind of like cringing, like, are you sure you want to cut your hair?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, cut it off. So to like, feel the air on your scalp, like a breeze on your scalp is so crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm a sweater, so I feel, I'm kind of happy that the hair is gone, especially approaching summer.
Yeah.
Because anybody got time for that?
No, nobody got time for that.
I'm excited to
rock
the...
Yeah, you definitely look incredible. And you shows off your face and your earrings that you wear. You're like a statement earring. You're not afraid of it.
I'm not.
And I love it. I live for it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, serving the face to the children.
On a silver platter.
On a silver platter.
Or in your case, gold.
Yes.
So I have to say, today's May 19th when we're recording this. And if anybody has turned on their TV or listened to the radio in the last 2 weeks, you will know that today a royal wedding happened.
It sure did.
Prince Harry of Wales and American actress Meghan Markle said their I do's in a gorgeous, gorgeous ceremony. I wasn't up to watch at like 4 in the morning or whatever it is, but I caught it later. And it was really, really beautiful. Were you able to see any?
I've seen bits and pieces, highlights. We were watching a little bit of Corden Tish reporting on the wedding. That was more like pre-wedding, post-wedding.
Yeah.
They didn't actually cover the ceremony.
Okay. Well, it happened at St. George's Chapel, which was... It's gorgeous. And there were 600 guests.
That's crazy.
Among them, Oprah.
I saw Oprah.
Serena Williams.
Yep.
And
the Beckhams.
Posh Spice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, some of her friends like Priyanka Chopra, a bunch of other people. George Clooney and Amal. Amal looked incredible. She was wearing like a yellow number. And all the women were fascinators. So it was a to-do, honey.
Honey.
And let's see what else. Her, there were a lot of firsts in this wedding. It was, you know, what you would call, some people have called this wedding groundbreaking. Because he has really sort of injected a different energy into what your traditional royal wedding is supposed to be. Or it has been in the last years. Starting with the bride, who is not only American, but she's biracial. And also, the way that things happened, there was an American bishop, Michael Curry, who stole the show. I mean, he during the ceremony, he spoke about Martin Luther King, which was incredible. And also, there was a gospel choir, which was amazing, and they performed Stand By Me, and that part was televised, and I have to say, they were like, as they were singing, they were showing images of the church, which was gorgeous, and they were going back to Meghan, and she's so beautiful, and she looked so happy, and they were both looking at each other, And it got to me, I have to say. I'm one of those people that I wasn't necessarily like, oh, I don't care about it. I was like, oh, it's great, and I hope they're happy. But I wasn't like up at 3 a.m. trying to watch. But when I saw it later, it definitely got to me, like the power of love. You know, it really came off the TV screen and hit me right in the face, and I got a little emotional, really emotional. It was beautiful. So people were saying that it was like a true injection of Americanness and the African American experience into this, which I think is definitely groundbreaking. And when you talk about purpose, you think about the, you know, it was a beautiful wedding and we're happy for them, but there was also a bigger purpose that this wedding will serve, and we'll see that years down the line, I think.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, to talk about some of the details, you know, the cake was elderberry and lemon and elderflower, sorry. And it incorporated the flavors of spring. And it is estimated at $13,500.
Oh, is that it?
That's it.
That sounds delicious, that's though.
It. Yeah, yeah. And I was saying, too, that there were some themes during the ceremony, like first. So Michael Curry, who is the bishop, is the first African-American bishop to preside over the Episcopal Church. The dress was designed by Claire Waite Keller, who is the first artistic director of the French House of Givenchy. So, and the dress is estimated at $340,000.
Damn.
The whole wedding was estimated at $1.4 million. Yeah, just a little wedding, you know, a little wedding.
Just close friends and family.
Close friends, you know, televised to 1.9 billion people around the world.
I know, can you imagine getting married and it's televised globally? Like, the entire world is watching you get married.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even...
Kind of intense.
Yeah, I don't like two people watching me.
Right,
let alone 1.9 billion.
A lot of people.
There were two receptions. Well, I guess one lunch reception. The other one's probably happening right now as we speak.
Yeah.
And that one was small, like for the closest.
Yeah, they said 200.
200
of the closest friends and family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very happy for them, though.
Yeah.
Very happy. I mean, Prince Harry has had a reputation for being sort of like the wild one. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, he dated a woman for about 7 years, and apparently they remained close. She was there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was there. So that's kind of interesting,
that
right?
Is interesting.
Because I can't think of, if I ever do get married, having, like, my husband's, like, ex of, like, 7 years
at
come
the wedding.
To the wedding.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, if she's okay with it, which seems like she is. I mean, they're both in their 30s.
Right.
So I think they're in a different space.
She's older than him, correct?
She's 36.
Yeah.
He's 33.
Okay.
And she has been married before.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, you know, somebody was saying that it has been sort of like a bumpy ride to the altar, but they were praising her for the way that everything has been handled.
Yeah.
Like, I know there were some situations with her family, and then people were criticizing the fact that she's been married before. Because you have to think, some women in Britain are groomed to be a contender.
Correct.
So for him to, for them to meet, and for her to be the one who gets to marry into the royal family is a big deal for people over there.
Yeah.
But I also think that the monarchy has been trying to be more approachable and sort of step into the modern times. So I hope that this is something that they embrace fully. Prince Charles walked her some of the way because her father wasn't able to attend.
Yeah, surgery.
I believe so.
Heart surgery. Yeah. He lives in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
And her mom was there and rode with her in the car.
Daria.
She was. Mm-hmm. She looked very overwhelmed, like emotionally overwhelmed.
Well, imagine.
I know.
Like, I mean, Meghan has been in the spotlight before as an actress, But I don't think anything can prepare you to go from that to being on the international spotlight now as the Duchess of Sussex.
Sussex.
Yeah, it's life-changing forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever.
Well, today we're talking about purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the wedding was insane.
Yeah.
Forever changed the course of history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we wanted to talk about our own purpose and mm-hmm. the purpose of this podcast and mm-hmm. how we came to be. What do you think is your purpose?
In life or with this podcast or both?
Both.
Long story short, I feel like my purpose is to leave this earth better off than it was when I got here.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the short and long of it.
Mm.
I feel like I'm doing an okay job.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely feel like I walk through life trying to do the least amount of harm to people, plants, the environment,
mm-hmm.
you know, the least amount of damage as possible.
Yeah.
Back in my using days, that was not necessarily the case.
Right.
There was a lot of wreckage. But since getting clean, I definitely feel like my purpose is to be aware of, like, my gifts and what I've been given in life. You know, I feel like I'm doing as well as I am just because of luck of the draw. I don't necessarily feel like I'm just very lucky to have the things that I have and to have had the experiences that I've had. And I want to do something with them. Mm-hmm. I want to help people.
Yeah.
I want to help people. I want to help people who maybe were not, I don't want to be un-PC, but I feel like some people are born with more privilege than others.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's a given.
And I feel like I was given a lot.
Yeah.
Not to say that I haven't struggled,
mm-hmm.
but still, baseline, I have a lot. And I want to be able to share that and give back. And I don't have a lot of money, but if I had more money, which I will at some point have buco bucks,
mm-hmm.
I definitely want to do more in regards to, like, how do you say that word? Philanthropy? Did I say it right?
Philanthropy?
Yeah. Along those lines. I feel like I'll just speak for myself. I feel like I do that on a daily basis. I'm kind of in the trenches right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to, at some point, take a step back from being in the trenches
mm-hmm.
of helping young LGBT people.
Yeah.
And be more on the planning end of things, helping facilitate programs being created, educational programs, employment programs, housing programs. And I've worked in nonprofits for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the experience I have gained has really given me a perspective on something that I kind of understood from my own experience, but I really understand now, seeing it through the eyes of many other young people that have grown up with not as much privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just, I think the world could be a much better place. I feel like there could be much less harm happening out there in the world. And I would just like to be a part of facilitating more good to be done than bad.
Okay.
Because a lot of fucked up shit happening out there.
Absolutely.
In America and other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Flint, Michigan still doesn't have clean water.
Right.
Puerto Rico still doesn't have electricity.
Mm-hmm. School shootings are regular thing.
Regular occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that gun control, mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had our episode on mental health, and mm-hmm. I think even just sharing your, like, our experiences can be very helpful to people.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's just still a lot of room for improvement
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the way of the world and this country and this city that we live in, and I don't know. I just want to make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. Where kids don't have to grow up afraid of being shot at school. Mm-hmm. How about you, Frankie?
Oh.
What's your purpose in life, Frankie?
Well, I like to say, well, I don't know if, I'm sure we've talked about how this podcast came to be, right? Mm-hmm. How, so we both, we're co-workers. We share an office. Mm-hmm. We've come to know each other and know of our struggles and know of our history and the fact that we are both creative. And we both have pursued careers in entertainment. And for whatever reason, neither one of us were able to continue on pursuing that. But we've talked about ideas of how to sort of be creative and get back into it. And I think one day we were sitting in the office and I thought about a podcast for a while. And I asked you, I was like, would you ever do a podcast? And you immediately said yes. And then we went on to talk about the things that we would need, the things that we could talk about. And you were like, let's do it. And then 2 weeks later, we already had like equipment. We were starting to work on stuff. We were writing and brainstorming. Self-doubt for me is one of the things that keeps me from accomplishing a lot of the things that I've set myself to do. That has been my issue my entire life. That has been lack of self-esteem, self-worth, all of that. And so I've never, I mean, I'm sure I have in some things, but I can't remember, I can't pinpoint a time when an idea, a concept went from inception to actually doing it as quickly as this has come together. You know, against all of my fears, because usually what happens is I have an idea that I think is great, but then self-doubt immediately sets in. And then I'm like, okay, then maybe when I lose 50 pounds, or maybe when I do this, or maybe when I have more money, or maybe when I have, but this time I was just going with it and I didn't have any reservation. I think you were a part of that. And I'm so happy that I did, because then this happened and now we are doing this. And yeah, we have had some struggles through it. Mostly technical.
Right.
But it's happening, and we are producing what I think is a podcast that has a little potential to reach people out there who might be struggling as well. And I think that is probably the biggest part of this, which is I would like to share my voice and to reach people who might be going through the same thing. Looking at podcasts and things that are out there now, there is a lack of voices like yours and like mine. And I would like that to change. I mean, we would love for it to be many, many more, because, you know, if there's more of us, there's more of a chance of reaching those who need to listen to this, so that people know that they're not alone, that there's hope. Also that, you know, we haven't figured it all out. Like, on the daily, I'm trying to figure out things out and navigate life, because it's complicated. So as much as we are trying to provide a service to others, others in this are providing a service to myself. Because as I was telling you earlier, like, this is self-care for me. I look forward to this. I had a really fucking shitty week. And this is the culmination of that. And it provides a certain level of care. You know, I can put it all out there. And I can talk to you, and I can talk to the other two people who are listening at this point.
There's like 30, 40 people
listening
to this podcast.
There's like 30, 40 people. Hi, 30, 40.
People.
And I can just put it all out there, and it's out there, it's in the universe, and I'm no longer holding it, because holding it is so painful. you know?
Absolutely.
So that is, I mean, I guess that sounds a lot like what the purpose it is that was doing to me rather than have me having purpose. But like you were saying, I want to help.
Yeah.
That is something I've always had a great deal of like empathy towards people. And I didn't grow up with a lot of privilege. My family history is complicated. You know, my dad was disabled since I was 11, and I didn't have a lot of opportunities, and the opportunities that I did have, I often fucked it up for myself because I don't believe in myself. I don't believe that I deserve good things in life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I do. And now I'm emotional. So I just want to say thank you for
you're making me cry. I love you, Frankie.
I love you because you don't push me, but you do. And I'm just, you know, happy to do this, even though this doesn't sound like I am, but I am.
Oh my God.
Don't mind us. We're over here having a breakdown.
Well, I almost started crying when I was talking about kids going to school and getting shot. But it's okay to have feelings.
It is.
It's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be moved. It's okay to express yourself and to have feelings around that.
Yeah. I just want to help.
Yeah.
That's all. Like at the end of the day, I want to help. And I want to help those who need it the most. You know, like you were saying that you want to be part of like planning and implementing programs. And I've always said like I would love to have, like you said, enough money to be able to like sponsor a bunch of youth.
Yeah.
You know, the youth who have plans and dreams and goals that, you know, we are to be able to allow them to do that.
Right.
To give them the resources that they need. Because, yeah, we have a lot of resources, but we don't have enough.
Correct.
You know? So oftentimes people fall by the wayside. And I would love to be able to sponsor a whole number of youth to, you want to go to college? Sure, here it is.
Right.
4 years paid.
Want to go to beauty school?
Want to be in entertainment? I know all these people. Here you go.
Here are some acting classes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to be able to do all those things so mm-hmm. that they're able to pursue the things that they really want.
Would you ever want to be a mentor?
Yeah.
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 We have a mentoring program where we work.
Mm-hmm.
We can't actually be mentors because we work there, but...
Correct.
I would love to be a mentor at some point.
Yeah, I think that would be amazing.
Because I don't have kids.
Yeah.
And love my brother and sister, but they're special in their own way. And I just think it would be cool to be able to mentor a young person.
Yeah.
And be able to give that like one-on-one attention and
yeah.
to show a young person what a healthy relationship with an adult looks like and
yeah.
to help guide. And I think, you know, I think it would have been cool if I didn't know about things like that when I was younger. When yeah. I was 21, 22, 23, 24, I was just kind of wandering around lost trying mm-hmm. to figure it all out. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be cool to mentor.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be great. And, you know, at times it feels like we have children, but we don't.
Correct.
I would love to have a child, you know, but at this point I don't have any.
Right.
Of my own.
Right.
I do have some
Not yet.
Children.
Not yet.
Not yet. I do have some children in my life, mm-hmm. who, you know, or at least feel like they are my children sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm just hoping that those who I come in contact with now, if they don't appreciate the advice or the guidance, they will come to see the value of it maybe years down the line.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's mainly what we do is we plant seeds.
Right.
A lot of the work that we do now with the young people, you don't really see when they're in the program. It's stuff that you know, perhaps blooms 5, 10, mm-hmm. 20 years down the line, because everybody's got their own journey.
Yeah.
You know, we deal with a lot of mental health issues. We deal with a lot of addiction issues. We deal with a lot of avoidance and fear and, you know, not feeling like you're presenting to the world the way you want to, which can hold them back. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's I do feel like we're constantly planting seeds.
Absolutely.
But, you know, in the years that we've worked there, we have seen people come out of the program mm-hmm. and are flourishing.
Yeah.
And are doing amazing things, working within the community, mm-hmm. paying rent, mm-hmm. having cars, having boyfriends, girlfriends, having families. Mm. Not to say that we did that, but we got to play a small part in that. Mm-hmm. Small part.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
It's a trip.
Yeah.
We got emotional.
Oh, my God.
We got emotional.
Ugh.
This is good, though. It's breakthrough stuff. Mm-hmm. You're listening to breakthroughs, people. Listening to emotional breakthroughs, letting the wall down. Right? Which can be scary, but also freeing at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, at least people are not looking at me.
Correct. Correct.
Because, you know, I got into the ugly cry.
It wasn't that ugly. It was actually pretty cute. Oh, my God. A good laugh, a good cry.
Yeah. So how about, like, your personal purpose, like, within your life?
I think it's similar to the purpose I have on the outside. I want to, the older I get and the more steps I take into the future, I would like to create less damage. I would like to quit smoking. I would like to have an even healthier relationship with my husband. I would like to be debt-free. I would like to maybe have a house one day. I want to get into meditation. I'd like to get into yoga, too. Mm. I feel like a lot of the things I have a hard time doing physically is because I'm not limber, not because I'm fat.
Mm.
I always used to think, oh, I can't do that because I'm fat. And it's like, no. You just need to stretch more, girl. You do a little stretching. Mm-hmm. And perhaps you'll be able to reach your feet a little bit easier. I would like to get back into comedy at some point.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work. Mm. And I feel like right now with work and the podcast and being in a relationship and mm-hmm. having friends and living a life of recovery and being of service, I feel like I kind of have a lot on my plate right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if throwing comedy back into the mix is something I want to do. But I actually have a friend who wants to start doing stand-up comedy. I was actually talking to a friend of hers this morning who was asking me about open mics. So I went on to Google and Googled some shit.
Mm.
And LA stand-ups, I don't know how accurate the information is, but they have like Sunday through Monday, or Monday through Sunday, they have all the different places that you can go do open mics. Mm-hmm. And then they give details on whether or not you have to pay or what the lineup looks like. Some it's they draw your name out of a hat. Some you just sign up and they pick you or they don't. Mm-hmm. All the major comedy clubs do open mic nights.
Yeah.
But she asked me if I wanted to go and I said, sure, I'll go. Most of my jokes are so fucking self-deprecating, but some of them are so good in my opinion. Like, yeah, I guess my husband hates some of my jokes mm-hmm. because they're so self-deprecating.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you need to win at the end of your joke.
Oh. Would you like to share a joke?
And I don't know.
Come on.
My joke book's inside. I'm trying to think of, I don't even know if I want to like share some of these.
Okay, then don't.
Well, I mean, but I kind of do.
Okay.
But I don't.
Okay. Then I don't know where we're going with this.
I know, right? I used to always start out my set with a gratitude joke. I don't know if this is really a joke, but just that like some people see the glass full, some people see the glass half empty. I just see the motherfucking glass. And there may or may not be a beverage in it at some point. But bottom line, I have a glass.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was my gratitude opening joke mm-hmm. to my set. But yeah.
Did you perform like an old, like the comedy store and all that.
Comedy store, improv. I never did the Laugh Factory because you couldn't cuss. Oh. And if you cuss, they'd kick you off stage. And you only had 3 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I have a potty mouth.
Yeah.
I would say I'm a little more restrained now.
Yeah.
Like I find myself being more aware of when and how I use cuss words. Mm-hmm. Try not to swear as much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No need to have a garbage mouth.
Yeah. Was there anybody, any other comics around you that have gone on to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, big careers.
Josh Adam Myers, who does the goddamn comedy jam. Mm-hmm. It's music and comedy.
Okay.
So, like, the comedians come and they do sets, and then they also sing to, like, different... Like, they cover different songs. Mm-hmm. He's done stuff on Comedy Central. He's always doing shows. Rel Battle, he's got a sitcom. Mm-hmm. Donut Time, I think, is the name of the sitcom.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's got Peggy from Married with Children. You know what her name is?
Katie Sagal.
Yes, Katie Sagal. I'm pretty sure she's in that.
Okay.
I think they film it on the East Coast, though.
Got it.
God, who else? I mean, those are the two that come to mind. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. They definitely, comics that I was coming up with have gone on to do bigger projects and are definitely making names for themselves.
Yeah.
I feel like I could have. I just didn't have the commitment.
Yeah.
I was a full-blown drug addict. I mean, drugs was really, like, my major priority back then. Mm-hmm. Comedy was just something I did in addition to working a 40-hour-a-week job.
Got it.
Because I love making people laugh. I've always loved making people laugh. But I do want to win at the end of my jokes. Mm-hmm. I just have a few, like, really well-constructed fat jokes.
Okay.
I also think that, you know, there is something to, like, people don't want to hear a fatty making fun of herself. And it's like, why? Like, I'm not taking myself that seriously. You know, like, I happen to be a fat woman. Why can I not make light of the fact that I walk through life as a fat woman, right? Wearing clothes that cut you right underneath the boob. So, like, foreign men are always coming up to me asking me when I'm due. It's like, I'm due to kick your ass in about 15 minutes, if you must know. I actually changed that joke. It used to be, I'm due to eat a burger in about an hour. You motherfucker. Stop asking me. But yeah, you know, I just think, I don't know, I go back and forth between, do people think this is mean because I'm a woman? Oh, and you shouldn't be making fun of yourself because you're a dainty little thing. I'm not really dainty, but, oh, you're a sweet woman and you should be nice to yourself. It's like, I love myself. I love myself more now than I've ever loved myself before.
Yeah.
Why can't I crack a fat joke?
Right.
But I also understand wanting to win at the end of the joke. So... I just like making people chuckle.
Yeah.
And I kind of like shocking people a little bit. I don't like scaring people. I used to like really enjoy making people feel uncomfortable. I don't actually like making people feel uncomfortable. Unless I'm just talking about like, unless I was, you know, talking about like marriage equality in a room full of Republicans, then I would want to make them feel uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like time and a place for everything. But yeah, generally I don't like making people feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
But I do like making people laugh.
Perfect.
So what is, you shared a little bit on like your own personal purpose for you in your life. Where are you at with all of that? Like, what do you feel like you want your purpose to be in your own personal life?
Well, I would like to be okay with where I'm at right now. I think if I'm able to take my life one step at a time, one day at a time, and just accept what's happening today, and also, you know that things might change in the future, but they might not. So to start building a future now, rather than waiting for the perfect moment to come, because it may never happen. So I would like to start doing that and kinder to myself. Also, I would like to start meditating, just like you said, because I realize that I rarely find a moment of peace when like my brain isn't going and I can't shut it off. It's always going and worrying and thinking about future and finances and things and this and the other. So that's another thing that I want to do. I also, you mentioned buying a home, and that's something that I've been thinking about a lot. And I actually picture myself in a little tiny house with a yard and a dog. So that's something that I want to work towards.
Yes.
I want a little puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want a yard for the puppy.
Yeah.
But mostly I want a house. And I decided that I want a fixer-upper.
Okay.
So that I can make it just exactly as I want it. Well, not myself. I would, like, hire people. Cause
get
I'm
a contractor.
Handy. I can make it pretty. I can't fix it and make sure that it's functioning. Everything's functioning the way that it's supposed to. I'm not that guy.
Right.
And I also want to pursue the dreams that I had. I've had many. And, you know, entertainment and fashion are definitely the two main ones, just being creative in that area. And there's definitely, as we've spoken before, there's a lack of fashion for men of size. And I want to be one of the people who are making sure that that changes. And for that, it will take a lot of... I just have to put myself out there, you know? And that's something that I struggle with. If you look at our Instagram, you will realize that there aren't very many pictures of myself. There's a reason for that. It's not because Kristen wants to be the pictures all the time.
You're like, oh my gosh, she's always hogging me Instagram. What the heck?
It's because I have a fear of that. I have a fear of that. And that is something that I want to get over and that I'm working towards. So hopefully you'll see more photos of me. And if you, I mean, if you want to, it's not like...
People do. They want to see Frankie.
It's not like, oh my God, you get to be the lucky ones to see my pictures.
Yes. Yes, they are lucky.
You should feel honored.
Yes, you should. Frankie does not take pictures for everybody.
Yeah. And I think just, you know, not being afraid to be vulnerable and to be out there, because I think that's where, you know, I was going into work on Thursday and I was listening to the radio and they were interviewing Shawn Mendes, who is a Canadian singer, songwriter, heartthrob, very handsome young man.
Mm-hmm.
He's 19 years old and he actually said something that resonated with me. He said, he was talking about his music, that the hardest thing is to allow yourself to be your true self in everything you do, to just let go of all inhibitions and put your all into whatever you are doing. And the reason why this is hard is because you're afraid of being ridiculed or look foolish. And once you are able to let that go, that's when you will do your greatest work. And I thought that was like super wise, and it can be applied to anything. So if I put my all into this podcast, it's going to be the greatest podcast ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it was kind of a joke, but yeah.
No, it's serious business.
Yeah.
So I think that's so true.
Right?
I think that's so true. I mean, I know when I really let go and I'm just myself.
Yeah.
It's a really good response from people.
Yeah.
It's good feedback.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that. Not that I'm not myself. It's just that I'm always concerned with what other people are going to think about me. What if I say this? And I don't want to say this because I don't want to offend this person or that person. I mean, not like you clearly want to make sure that you're not saying horrible things to people.
Right.
But I think if you're just being yourself and sharing your true self and your honesty and your... depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you... Mm-hmm. I don't even think myself would ever offend anyone in a kind of malicious way. So I just want to not be afraid to say the things that I want to say and to share the things that I want to share.
Right.
And to just put myself out there. Because you never know what effect that's going to have on somebody. And what it will do for myself.
Exactly. Most importantly, what it'll do for yourself.
Yeah. So there you have it. Those are some of the things that I want for my life and for purpose.
Love it.
Me too. This was a really, what is the word?
Cathartic.
Yes. Episode.
It was.
It is our number nine.
It lucky number nine.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you. And thank you for the people who are listening.
All of you.
Yeah.
We love your shows.
30-40.
30-40? Oh, yeah, 30-40 people. Call back. Thank you, 30-40 people.
Yeah.
We just want to thank you guys for joining us today. We had a lot of fun. We came, we saw, we cried, we laughed, we conquered.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy doing this podcast.
Mm, me too.
And I really enjoy doing it with you, Frankie.
Me too.
And I hope you guys are enjoying us as well.
Yes.
Is that the bow?
That's the bow.
Okay, that's the bow. We're out.
We want to ask them to join us next week for the season finale.
Oh, yeah.
And episode 10, where we're going to be just talking about what we've done this past season.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about guests that we'd like for season 2.
Yeah.
And what to expect on season 2.
Yeah.
So it'll be a good episode. So please be sure to join us and listen to that.
Make sure to rate us and leave a comment. You can also find us on Instagram at Cheat Day Podcast, on Twitter at Cheat Day PCast. You can email us at cheatdaypcast@gmail.com or check our website at cheatdaypodcast.com.
Okay, bye.